Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Hedmar. The signal is coming from our wonderful studios at KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. But physically today, I am in Tokyo, Japan. I'm taking I'm giving a series of seminars here on channeled messages from the wonderful late Dr. Masaru Emoto. I'm also taking classes as a guest of the Emoto Peace Project at the 19th International Hado Instructor School here in Tokyo. And I'm having an incredible time. Very, very interesting. Tokyo is such a beautiful city. I have to tell you, during the time I've been here this week, I've seen one cigarette butt on the street. And there are millions of people here. No trash, nothing. The city is immaculate. People are all polite. And it's just been a wonderful experience here. And as part of that experience, we have a wonderful guest on our show today, Manami Ozaki. And she's a professor, a psychology professor here in the Tokyo area. And she's done academic research into the joy of giving and the health benefits and the academic benefits and the spiritual benefits of living a spiritually rewarding life. I just want to introduce you, Mamani, and then make some announcements. Mamani, are you there, my friend?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for inviting me to your wonderful radio show. And I was so glad to see you at Top Mount Fuji last Sunday at your beautiful peace prayer meeting.
Wonderful, wonderful. I want to go into that a little bit about today about this called the Symphony of Peace Prayers. Mm-hmm. Now, from my understanding from Mr. Hiro Sayanji, who I met and talked to at the conference at the conference last Sunday, I believe this is the ninth conference they've had. Is that right? Do you know?
Sure, maybe tenth or. I'm not sure, but it's a wonderful memorial year this year because they declare the Fuji Declaration for the World Peace. Mm-hmm. It was a very special moment of the Symphony of Prayers, Peace Prayers, I think.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, that I know is that at the same time, according to the literature, at the conference, that this event was also going simultaneously on in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what they wanted to do through their peace prayers is to synchronize a whole symphony of people saying peace prayers, not only at Mount Fuji near Tokyo, but also in Denmark, near Copenhagen, Denmark, at the same exact time, so they would link worldwide to create an atmosphere of peace throughout the world on a global scale.
Yes, it was tremendously lucky for me to be there in a huge global harmony of peace prayer. Mm-hmm. That was my second time meeting, and last night was my first attending that meeting. I was deeply moved, and I felt, you know, the big peace and hope for the global peace at this moment. And this year, I was so much impressed by the tea ceremony and the beginning of the ceremony, because I myself practiced tea recently. That was recently is after the prayer, the prayer, something beyond the world, I mean, the essence of our existence or something.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Mamani, can you hear me okay? You're a little muffled there a minute ago.
Okay, yes, no problem hearing you.
Okay, great. That's much better. That's much better. Well, I will be having a special program on the Symphony of Peace Prayers a week from today. I was able to get some able to do some wonderful interviews with both the organizers of the Peace Prayer, Mr. Hiro Sayonji and his wonderful wife, as mm-hmm. well as Professor Irvin Laszlo from Hungary as well. And They've been working tirelessly and for years in creating a far better and far happier planet than the one we have now. And I can see it. I know that it's bearing fruit, actually. That the I can feel the tide is turning. During my first hour today, I had Ray Chandran on, a wonderful psychic who lives in Tokyo. I consider him one of the best mediums and psychics actually in the world. And we had a long discussion about the future of humanity and how things are changing for the better. You've been involved, Mamani, in academic research into spiritual healing and the joy of giving. And you've been very kind to give me a copy of your book, which I've read, called The Joy of Giving. But for my many listeners around the world, could you explain a little bit about your wonderful research and the kinds of things that you do?
Okay, thank you. Actually, I'm now studying in a positive psychology area, and I used to be involved in the transpersonal psychology, and I'm actually the vice president of the Association of Japanese Transpersonal Psychology. And the reason why I switched the area of researching from transpersonal to the positive psychology is because the positive psychology is based on the scientific method. And we know that the science has a limitation, but for the many people to accept the theory, I think I thought maybe it's better to research and within the limit of science based on the data. That's why I switched from transpersonal to the positive psychology recently.
Fascinating. Just yes. Fascinating. Well, and
yes.
Go ahead, please. Yes, go ahead.
You know, Abraham Maslow developed the hierarchy of needs model, and he emphasized self-actualization. Hello, do you hear me?
I hear you fine. Yeah.
Yes. And Maslow has declared the start of the psychology book. Universe-centered psychology, actually transpersonal psychology, and he tried to prove it scientifically that we human being is a good existence. I mean, we what can I say? Actually, if we are in a good situation, in good condition, we be a good person, a good existence to support each other based on love and peace. But he died really an early year so that he couldn't develop his theory of what you call transcendental, self-transcendental based human to call a theory, psychology, but it's good. But unfortunately, Japanese people experienced the 3/11 Higashi earthquake disaster. After that, I collected some data on the people recovering from the disaster, and I found from the data that at the crisis, our essence or the real nature of the human being raised, or we realized that. And the data said that we are happy to help people. Mm-hmm. It's not just because of our moralistic thing, but it comes from our basic needs. That is what I've found.
Interesting. Interesting. So people have a basic need to help others.
Yes, exactly. And there are some anthropologic data to support on that theory, I think, and also a biological data also supports that our old existence are born to support each other, to sustain the harmony of this world, I think.
gosh. Wow, that's very nice. Thank you so much for sharing that. The purpose of my radio program, my friend, is to raise consciousness and to create a far better and happier world than the one we have now. And it really warms my heart to hear you say that, because I know intuitively that's true. But it's nice to have that come from you, since you've studied the issue academically.
Yes, I think to declare the world peace is very important. And for sometimes science has a better the way for the people to understand, because I think most of the people understand that we like to live in peace and love, but some people think it's a very idealistic or something, just a word. But sure. With the data, it's easier for them to understand our essence of human nature. That's mm-hmm. why I'm studying it. And, you know, the positive psychology has a purpose to prove that I think our good human nature. But because of the psychology, conventional psychology is based on humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
good, but it has limitation, because the psychology based on human lack of something very important. That's why the Maslow and I say the psychology based on perspective of universal centered perspective. And when we switch the perspective from human being to the universe, all the problems we have experienced look to be proven. Such as we have positive and negative, a lot of two poles struggling or conflicting each other, but to integrate the two things create the harmony of the world.
Pardon me for interrupting there, my friend, but I wanted to discuss a paper that you've written in your book. It's called The Authentic Meaning of Spiritual Healing, which was written by you and your friend Teiko Oku in your Joy of Giving book. And you make a reference in there, and I want to explore this a little bit with you, about the that if people are healed spiritually, that they will, of course, experience other benefits as well. Not only happiness, but also freedom from disease. I know that I was in Egypt many years ago visiting the pyramids there, and down at Luxor in the Upper Nile, there are hieroglyphs from 5,000 years ago in which Egyptian doctors wrote that any disease is actually disease. In other words, they take the word disease and they split it into two infinitives, disease, so that if people are spiritually stressed, if they're stressed out and spiritually stressed, then what happens is that often manifests in the physical with the disease. And so the flip side, the contrary side of that, is that if people are healthy spiritually, then that should translate into better physical health as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes. But one thing we have to remember is that spiritual healing does not always come with the physical healing or mental healing. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we have to divide a dimension of spiritual, physical, mental, social, speaking about the health.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we human being has to be finished our life here. And we cannot avoid any the disease or, I mean, the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritual healing heals the spiritual healing. Mm-hmm. But we may have also the physical pain. And in case if we cannot avoid the physical pain, some people think we don't have enough faith or something. I don't think so. Even the great people die with disease. But so I'd like to emphasize that the spiritual healing does not always come from the physical health, I think.
Amazing, amazing. How long have you been doing research into this this area?
About spirituality? Before the 2000s. But you know, Japan, I think Japan is a very spiritual country.
Yes.
But we feel that scientific research is very important. And the academic area, studying about spirituality is inhibited. And I had a very difficult time at the moment. So I switched the theme to the character strength or virtue, which is more acceptable in the psychology area. But my aim is try to introduce the universe-centered perspective on the conventional psychology. And now, in the 2015, I think more and more people are accepting something beyond is more important. We have to think about it, to think of our authentic happiness.
Well, I think people the worldwide over Mimuni are seeking spiritual answers. They're also seeking the questions to why are we here? Why am I doing what I'm doing now? What lessons am I here to learn? They're looking for greater meanings in life than just struggling for survival and for existence. And I think that's a phenomenon happening worldwide. I know that from what Dr. Moto taught in his wonderful research, that everything is hado, and hado actually is vibration. And if you raise the hado of the world or the vibration of the world, we'll create a far better world than what we have now. And he was, before he passed away into the other side, last October last year, he said that even the radiation from Fukushima, it could be cured by hado, in other words, raising the planet's vibration. On that note, for people listening, I was tracking, there was a huge plume of radioactive radioactivity coming from Fukushima that was released in early 2011 after that tragic accident at those four nuclear power plants, and it was headed right for the U.S. West Coast, with Washington State as the main target. And so a year ago, I started doing testing of the ocean water off the Washington coast, because the U.S. federal government, under the Obama administration, had shut down all the radiation monitoring stations, and they refused to measure any of the radiation that was coming in, which I found incredible, and they're still not measuring anything. So anyway, I privately had radiation testing done, and I shipped off the samples to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, Wisconsin, and I also shipped off the water samples to California, and California, under Jerry Brown, agreed to do all the testing I wanted for free for Washington, because Washington State wouldn't do any testing. Anyway, the upshot is that all of that radiation coming from Fukushima had completely disappeared off the coast, and much of the Pacific now is clean of radiation. Now we're getting some still pollution from Fukushima coming into the Sea of Japan around Japan, but much of it's been cleaned up, and it's been cleaned up, I'm told, by the Galactic Alliance, who've come in from their benevolent human extraterrestrials come in, because they're not going to let us kill ourselves. But the technology that they use to clean up the Pacific and Japan has been based on hado, on Dr. Emoto's principles of raising the vibration. I don't know how they do it technologically, but they've raised the vibration to get rid of the radiation. And but anyway, spiritual healing, I think, has a wonderful is a wonderful thing, and it has many, many, many benefits. What kinds of other research have you been involved with?
Oh, I have been studying about helping others with a native, spontaneous joy. And I have some research on it, like doing good things or kind to the people make themselves happier than before. And actually, the people who do good things have happier feeling than the person who receive it. It's very important and interesting.
One of the things that I was talking, isn't that interesting you bring that up? One of the things I was talking about with my new friends in the Hado school here in Tokyo this week has been the benefits of simply smiling at someone or saying good morning to someone in a friendly way, and it really lightens up their day, because if they're happy, then you become happy.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yes.
I think everybody has such experiences every day, but to prove it scientifically, make the people believe it and encourage them to do more, I think. Your story about purifying the radiation by Hado was very, very interesting, extraordinary. It's wonderful news for everybody, and it's great. And I don't know about the technique of Hado, but I'm just in front of the Mount Fuji this morning, watching it, and I don't know.
It must be so beautiful.
Yes,
it must be so beautiful.
No clouds at all. Today it's perfect day in the morning, and I feel, the purifying just watching it and breathing the air in the forest, and all the creatures, I think, in the world, on earth, is blessing and conveying the beautiful, peaceful Hado, I think, a vibration. Mm-hmm. And the only thing we have to do is just be still and feel it and enjoy or thankful and being in oneness, and so that we unconsciously convey all the peaceful heart of all the world, I think. Of course, that something very strong heart may be necessary for such a radiation contamination, but in everyday life, in every moment, we can just create and convey the peaceful huddle, just watching the nature. I think nature is very, very strong, wonderful resource for the good huddle, I think.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to mention, for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. We're broadcasting live today from Tokyo, Japan, and we have a fascinating, wonderful lady on named Amani Ozaki, I hope I pronounced that correctly, my friend. She's on the line via Skype, just outside Mount Fuji, several hours from Tokyo. For those in the Seattle area who are unfamiliar with Mount Fuji, it's a beautiful, beautiful spiritual mountain, and it's compared to Mount Rainier. Mount Rainier is kind of got a kind of a rounded top. I wasn't alive. I don't know. I wasn't around 14,000 years ago, but I've been told that it blew its top way back then, so it's lost its top. But Mount Fuji has more of a pointed top, and it comes to a very, very sharp point. But around it, it's a very spiritual place. And there was a what's called the Symphony of Peace Prayers there last Sunday. Now, not to criticize the U.S. media, but I didn't hear anything in our newspapers in the United States and mainstream media about this wonderful, fantastic spiritual event. But it was an incredible international event attended by people from all countries on the planet. And it happened not only outside Mount Fuji in Japan, but also in Denmark as well. And they were saying prayers at the same time simultaneously with representatives from all of the Earth's planets for a peaceful, more harmonious planet. But once again, you don't see this much in the U.S. media. Unfortunately, they don't focus in on things like that. The really important things, I don't think they give a lot of attention to. But Mamani, I wanted to ask you a question. Do you think happy people live longer than unhappy people?
Absolutely, scientific research proven it, of course. And the thing, if we believe that too much, it may be dangerous because if someone has catch cold or some disease, and people may think I'm wrong or I'm not happier. But something a very sad thing happen in the world every day. And if we feel sorrow for the people suffering, we suffer also. And actually, we suffer for the loved people. Our immune system may go down, and maybe easier to catch cold or an unhealthy condition temporarily. I think it's our natural life, and we cannot be happy all the time. You understand? We experience good and bad all the time. And I think I think the important thing is not to exclude the negative feeling, but we just see it, experience it, and include that negative feeling. And if it's a destructive feeling, we should get rid of it. But like the sympathize for the sorrow for the suffering people, it's also, I think, love. It's painful, but it's love.
One thing I want to discuss with you, can you hear me all right, Mamani?
Yes,
By the way, I'm having
yes,
a little interference for you. Okay, I
yes.
just wanted to ask, make sure you heard me okay. There's a very interesting statement that the Dalai Lama made several years ago, and he said that evil as an experiment was ending on this planet, on planet Earth. And I also have been in touch psychically with a wonderful gentleman named Ambassador Trellian of the Galactic Alliance. Now, the Galactic Alliance is an alliance of 435 million planets. It's an alliance that exists in this one-third of the Milky Way galaxy. They are comprised of approximately 7 trillion entities. They're mostly human, all benevolent, and they are between 50 and 100,000 years ahead of us technologically, and between 20 and 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. And they have confirmed that evil as an experiment on this planet, is ending. So that what they have said is that about 3.5, 4 years ago, the timelines change on this planet, so that the supreme being, the supreme creator, God, if you will, has decided that. Evil would be ended on this planet as an experiment. In other words, the bad stuff that we experience now will slowly go away, and the conditions for a true wonderful a golden age on this planet will come into being. We talked a little bit about this during the last hour, I've been in touch also psychically with Michel de Nostradamus. And he said that he confirmed that that is correct, that by the 2020s and the 2030s, that we would have a whole new planet, basically, based upon spiritual peace and prosperity, and it would be literally a new golden age for humanity. Nostradamus is telling me now that this period, according to what he sees, will last for about 1,000 years on Earth here, and after which we would become a spacefaring species, exploring the stars, as in like in Star Trek. But the future for our children and our children's children and their children will be different, very different in a good way, that people have never experienced before.
That's a wonderful good news.
And what I like about your research is that you give an academic basis to spiritual healing. To and also your book is called The Joy of Giving, and you go into academic studies about the benefits of being benevolent, about being helping, about helping people, and about spiritual healing. I just want to thank you so much. What's been one of the most incredible experiences you've had with spiritual healing or your academic research?
About spiritual healing.
Spiritual healing or, yeah, some of your studies on the joy of giving or being positive.
Oh, okay. The Japanese people, especially my student in a private small women's university, are very shy and very obedient and nice student, good people, but who is a very humble and hesitated to do behave spontaneously, even if they have a good heart. And when I encourage them to do the good things to the world, but it's very difficult for them because they mind what the people think of them. And if someone do the different things of others, it matters in Japan, our society, and they are very shy and they have a very difficult time to start it. But because of the class, I gave them as assignment for the credit. So it's a kind of pushing activity for them to do it. And once they decide to do it, they need a very big courage to start it. But once they do it, even the little things, they have changed a lot. They're more smiling and become more happier. And they have actually changed. The whole class has changed. That was a wonderful moment as a teacher to tell them that the truth that our human being is able to be supported each other, and it makes them happy. And I think the important thing is just to do it, even if they don't know the reality, but if they experience, they understand what the joy of giving.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Well, like I said, I think that human nature is to be benevolent, and the wars and the fighting and the anger we've experienced during the last, I don't know how many centuries this has been going on, but for a long time, is an aberration. I don't think it's the normal course of human history to have that kind of conflict. And so I see a greater harmony and peace in the world, and I also see people getting along much better than they do now, even. Absolutely. What's your some of your future areas for future research you want to go into there, Mami?
Yes. Actually, the research has a limitation. I mean, as a science. And recently, I'm more interested in the tea ceremony. Yes, because I think the truth sometimes cannot verbalize it. Just we feel it and we sense it, and it's more powerful for the people. And of course, there are a lot of things we can do in science, but for me, I think I myself is more happier or comfortable to do and dancing or doing some artistic things. And the tea ceremony is it's kind of prayer, and the tool to be in harmony with others. And it's just making tea and drink, very simple thing. But when we concentrate on what we are doing and appreciate the moment, as this is the last chance and the first and the last, and we say ichigo ichie, and a very only moment of everything, like mindfulness, it's open for the everybody, for the people not scientific, for the people who don't understand spirituality, even who are against of the you know, the anti-scientific or speech of things, everybody can appreciate it. And that's why I think tea ceremony is a very good tool to understand our human nature. And it's not pushing it. Just drinking tea is a good feeling. And little by little, I think just by doing it, by experience, we are actually eventually experience the harmony and the good feeling, good nature of a human being, I think.
You know, that's very interesting you bring that up, because as a Westerner, I grew up in the United States, of course, and I've heard of tea ceremonies before, but actually the first time I saw it done was at the Symphony of Peace Prayers last Sunday, just outside Mount Fuji. And for my many listeners in the United States who don't know about the tea ceremony, could you explain a little bit? Now, it's for, you know, I like tea myself, but when you prepare the tea, do you say certain spiritual prayers when you do it, or do you give thanks? How is that done?
The tea ceremony has started a long time ago when the Japan had a battle and divided into small countries. Now, that period, war age, the leader of the shogun had need a tea ceremony before going to the war to make him calm down and to be prepared for I think that he may be, his life would be end at the battle. So they did it as a ceremony, as a, it could be the last chance to appreciate the moment.
I see. And, interesting.
It's just making a tea, but it's I feel like the similarity of the ceremony of the Catholic Mass of the, you know, the Christ's body and the blood drinking as a part of us. What do you call it?
The communion for the Catholic Church. Sure.
I feel this is just my understanding. It's not a traditional thing, but I feel that making tea is like a mixing and a blending of the physical world with the spiritual world, you know, the shaking or, you know, making tea, we mixing water, leaves, and green leaves, tea leaves, and also the air comes in. And we make the whole thing, physical thing, mental thing, and spiritual thing, everything in a cup of tea. And drink it, appreciating everything.
Well, that's very interesting. I know that through the Hatha school here in Tokyo, I've learned that when you, for example, if you were to write the words love and gratitude on a cup of tea, mm-hmm. or in the water used for the tea, the molecular structure of the molecules in that water would change into beautiful crystalline patterns, because the vibration of the water actually is risen, and the water used in the tea ceremony combined with the spiritual techniques you're talking about can be extremely beneficial for people. It can literally raise your vibration and also keep you healthy as well. There's one thing, getting back to what the Egyptian doctors said 5,000 years ago about diseases being diseases. Many diseases are from the lack of any kind of high vibration. In other words, they thrive in when people get sick, their vibrations are lower. Mm-hmm. But if you can raise your vibration, as the Galactic Alliance has done for the Pacific, you can not only get rid of disease, but you can get rid of pollutants too, like radiation.
Interesting. I think it's very similar with the tea. I think when they started the tea ceremony, tea used to be the medicine for the sick people. And it actually, it contains actually caffeine and something, but I think it's beyond the physical matter. I think the vibration, and we make it a good vibration, the process of making tea, I think.
I have one of the wonderful people I've been in contact with the last couple of months has been Professor Albert Einstein. He just popped in now, just came in now, and he wanted to share this, that his famous formula, E equals MC squared, is energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. And he said now that everything is energy and everything is vibration, so that if you can raise your vibration, you basically... You can get rid of disease very easily, he said, because it only exists in the lower realms. He also there is something else too that to realize. He said that God's within all of us, and especially in water. Dr. Emoto, before he passed away last year, thought that water was God. Water is God because it's in all of us. Our human bodies, for example, are about 70% water, and the earth is 70% water as well. So there's a dichotomy there, a reflection, that each one of us are part of God, of course. But it was just some fascinating things that if you think about it, if you can raise your vibrations, you can not only feel better and happier, but also get rid of all kinds of diseases as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reason why I moved to the Mount Fuji area from Tokyo last year was because I had several uncomfortable physical symptoms. That's why. And I felt that this pure air and water, where I live in, it's called Oshino. It's famous for the pure, beautiful water. Mm-hmm. And that beautiful water and air changed my body conditions, and it takes like almost 2 hours from here to my office, but I really feel like to go home after the long day. And every day there is a reason I should be here, to breathe this air and drink this pure water and make the not only my body, but the mental, physical, spiritual condition much, much better. And it's so amazing.
Amazing. Now, you commute 4 hours a day?
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. My goodness.
Yeah. People say it's a crazy thing, but Mount Fuji called me to come.
Well, that's great. Now, you're with Kyoto University, is that right?
Yes, with a doctor. Yes.
Wonderful. And that's what the are you in the Department of Psychology or the
there? No, I was in the other area. That's because studying about spirituality, I have been looking for the area where I can present it, and the psychology is more conservative and very hard to get into. Although psychology has to treat with spirituality the most, I think. But because of that situation, I entered from the area of medicine, like psychosomatic medicine.
Interesting.
Then little by little, into the psychology or environmental issue. And now I'm in positive psychology.
Well, I have to tell you, I've never met anyone who was an academic researcher into spiritualism. Mm-hmm. There are probably not many people like you, are there, in the world who do academic studies of spiritualism?
I feel so lonely about this. Well, that's why I have been moving on the tea ceremony. But anyway, I think I have the very important mission to present it about the spirituality in the psychology area. And I was very fortunate and amazing, lucky occasion to present it as a keynote speaker at the conference, International Psychology Conference in Paris last year. I'm not famous people even in Japan, But I have been studying about spirituality and collected data from 3/11 disaster, and someone noticed that it's a very good theory as a sustainable well-being, and the topic of the conference was the from the crisis to the sustainable well-being. It just matched it.
Sure,
and
well.
I was called and had a good presentation with a video, and I sang and danced. And that's why, because my theme is, you know, to introduce the science, art, religion is very important to combine with the science, that we can see the real tools. So I always do dance and do tea ceremony at the academic conference.
Huh,
and
interesting.
That's why I'm so excluded sometimes. It's talking for the many people sometimes.
Sure, that's interesting. Now, for those outside of Japan who don't know what the 3/11, was that, are you referring to Fukushima? Is that right?
No, I was in Tokyo at the moment, but I knew something was wrong, something's coming, and at the day, I was very sick at the moment, I couldn't move, and I didn't know why. And after that, I felt a huge amount of negative feeling, the sorrow and the guilty and everything. And after that, I just couldn't survive. I'm survived, but at that moment, for a few months, I just couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was almost dying. You know, sympathize too much for the sorrow.
Well, forgive me for not knowing more about this, but what was the 3/11 tragedy? So that many of my listeners are around the world, and they may not know what you're referring to.
Okay, we had a very big earthquake.
Oh, okay.
The March 11th of the 2011.
But oh, I see. I'm sorry. Okay.
The 11th. A disaster is not only the earthquake and the tsunami, you know,
right.
That, but the more important thing is the nuclear plant destroyer. And
oh, forgive me. Okay, now it becomes clear. It was the earthquake that led to the tsunami that led to the Fukushima problem. Okay.
Clear contamination.
Sure.
It was a shame. I think I, as a Japanese, I felt a deep, deep guilt to not to be able to stop it about
well,
you know, things.
I have to tell you, and since you're from Japan, I want to ask you this question. And I don't know if it's true, but I'll just like to throw this out, that I had heard that many Japanese people actually believe that the so-called earthquake wasn't an earthquake at all, that it was actually a nuclear device placed at the bottom of the ocean outside Japan, as horrible as that may seem, that exploded, made it look like an earthquake, and it was done for political reasons. And I don't know by who or for what reasons, but that's the rumor I heard. Do you know much about that, since you live here? I don't know.
Sorry, I don't know. Maybe true, it may not, but actually, you know, I could focus on the beautiful science, and I just don't know at all about the rumor. But anyway, how prevent that nuclear power plant accident? Maybe not earthquake, tsunami. It's a natural disaster, but the more important thing is our human beings had responsibility to that accident.
Hmm. Well, certainly, when you talk about Fukushima, it's a tragic event, certainly, and it's certainly one we'd have to discuss on another show. But I was just curious to see, since you live here, what kinds of things you'd heard on the ground. I don't entirely trust. Major U.S. media to tell the American people the truth about what's actually going on in the world. So, but at any rate, I'm so glad you're doing your research, Mamani, and you're just a keep up the good work. Keep up the good work, and don't get lonely, because I know that there's probably a lot of people out there, especially in universities and academics, who'd like to do research like yourself.
Thank you.
But they
yeah. Just one thing I'd like to mention about that thing is, because even it may be true for the political things, you know, make the earthquake or killing people, but it may be true, but we do not focus on it. We just please focus on the beautiful side and have hope for our future, I think.
Sure.
That's an important thing, you know.
And I think that's a very positive way to handle things. And I agree with you, because it's what's past is past, what's happened's happened. But once again, it's tragic that it did happen. And if Fukushima was not, if this so-called earthquake wasn't an earthquake at all, you kind of make you wonder what really happened and why people would ever do that to this beautiful country here. At any rate, I just wanted to say we've got a few minutes left, and I wanted to just say that we've got. We will be coming on air a week from today. I will be back in the United States by then with Irvin Laszlo. He is the one of the world's most famous scientists, as well as Mr. Hiro Sionji, who is the wonderful spiritual man. He's the organizer of the Symphony of Peace Prayers here in Japan. And during my they're pre-recorded interviews that I did during the conference, but during those interviews, we had Professor Einstein come in on board, and Michelle de Nostradamus. We had a very interesting, lively conversation between all three gentlemen during that time, and I will play those recordings for you a week from today, and I assure you it'll be simply out of this world, like my radio show. But yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And I wanted to give you the also the rest of the floor now. We've got a couple minutes left, and feel please free to say whatever you like to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Me?
Yes. Okay. I'd like to free to say. Go ahead.
I'm so much encouraged about you have told me about it. I have not known about the things, or most of the things you mentioned just today, because as a scientist, I try not to be so close to the spiritual world. You understand? Sometimes it's very critical things in our area, but I have been trying to be a very strict scientist, but now I feel I cannot be like that. I am myself, and I'm Manami Ozaki, and I like to be more free to be myself. And I feel with Mount Fuji, and I think I have some special mission for, you know, convey this pure, beautiful nature of the human being and the nature of the earth. And with the tea ceremony, in some other dancing or artistic work, I, with the scientific-based model of inclusive positivity.
Wonderful. I want to thank you so much for your research and for coming on the show today. And for everyone around the world, I hope you have a wonderful, happy week. And from a beautiful, sunny morning in Tokyo, mm-hmm. Tokyo, Japan. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Manon. Thank you for coming up.